Hello, friends. Thanks for dialing up the March 2000 Market Scope, an in-depth analysis and occasional commentary on radio markets, as submitted by generous audio service members. I'm the intro guy for this column, Phil Wayne. Now it's off to Huntsville, Alabama, as we finish the AM band and enjoy some black gospel music with our guest host, Tim Hendel.
So we're moving up to 1550. 1550 is a frequency in Huntsville that was of more historic interest than it is today, maybe. Years ago, 1550 was the home of WAAY, and I know that WAAY used to be a full-time station because I used to DX them sometimes in Miami. During the late 50s and 60s, during the heyday of AM rock and roll, I'm told that WAAY was Huntsville's main rock station, that all the kids and the folks who wanted to hear popular music listened to WAAY. WAAY also has a TV station here in Huntsville, and they also have an internet service provider, and that's why my email is tim@highway.net with HIWAAY. But no longer do they find themselves on the AM band, and I don't know when this change happened. It was long before I came to Huntsville. But 1550 now is WLOR. They call themselves the Spirit of the Valley. The Valley, as you may have figured out by now from some of these other air checks, is the Tennessee Valley, the Valley of the Tennessee River. Yes, the Tennessee River lies for a good part of its length in Alabama. WLOR is a black gospel station, and they're only a daytimer now, though, as I said, they did used to be on at night. According to both my log and John Bowker, WLOR operates with 50,000 watts, but I have to tell you, they are the poorest 50,000 watt signal I have ever heard, even right here in town. I don't know whether they have problems with their transmitter and they're not transmitting at full power, or they have a very inefficient antenna or ground system, or a very directional antenna that beams away from downtown Huntsville. Now, that wouldn't make much sense, would it? But for some reason, their signal just does not have the strength of what you would expect from a 50,000 watt signal, and their audio is pretty poor most of the time. One other thing that WLOR does, which seems rather in contrast with the rest of their format, they carry television news audio from TV Channel 48. They do this in the morning, and I'm not sure if they also do it in the evening. So here we go, straight from Sinon with WLOR.
WLOR, 1550 AM, Huntsville, Spirit of the Valley.
Mass Choir, right here on Morning Gospel. I'm Brother Ed Gaines. It's 6:54 on the clock, 6 minutes away from your 7 o'clock hour. Now listen, we're just getting started right here on your favorite gospel station. Coming up at the top of the hour, AUN News. Also, we have a Bible trivia at 7:15. And let's not forget the Sentleman's Bakery birthday giveaway, 721-1200. Here's Yolanda Adams. God bless you this morning.
You have longed for sweet peace.
WLOR, 1550 AM, Huntsville, Spirit of the Valley.
I'm Jerry Scott. Well, Thursday's April 15th, the income tax filing deadline.
Don't count on any breaks if you don't file your taxes by Thursday.
Temperatures in the 40s at night for the most part.
Okay, thanks, Adrian. And thank you for joining us. We'll have more local news in 30 minutes.
And thank you very much, 31 News, for that local news, weather, and traffic update. It's going to be a beautiful day. Oh, yes, it's already beautiful out there. Get out there and make the best of it.
In fact, tests show that Tempur-Pedic users toss and turn 83% less. Even if you have back or neck problems, Tempur-Pedic can offer unprecedented relief. No wonder over 25,000 doctors...
And believe it or not, folks, that is the sign-off. Probably being run strictly by the clock. Probably being done by people who do not care. In fact, I would strongly suspect that after that morning show, there isn't even anyone in the radio station. The gospel programming, which they carry most of the day, seems to be downloaded from some satellite, including the commercials, such as that last one that you heard part of. And I made one little glitch, I hope you noticed. I said they were carrying Channel 48 news. Well, I thought they did carry Channel 48 news. Somebody around here did, and I thought it was them. But now they carried news from Channel 31, a very appropriate choice because Channel 31 is WAAY-TV, the station of which they were at least at one time part of, and I don't even know if they're still maybe owned by WAAY. Well, now we move up to the last AM station, 1600 on the dial, WEUP, WEUP. WEUP is the most well-known black station here in Huntsville. If you ask most people who don't pay very much attention to the radio, be they white or black, what's the black station in Huntsville, they would probably tell you WEUP. WEUP is a full-time operation at 1600. When the first list of expanded band stations came out, it was said that they had applied for and been granted a move to 1700. But so far we haven't seen anything, any sign whatsoever of a station testing on 1700. WEUP has a rather unusual FM situation, which I'll cover in more detail when I get to the FM band. Their actual FM station is located in Minor Hill, Tennessee, and doesn't serve Huntsville all that well, so they have several translators located around the area. But for now, we'll talk about the AM. At some times during the day, the two AM and FM simulcast, and at other times they don't. Like so many black stations, WEUP starts out its day with a gospel program, but most of the day they're sort of black oldies, soul, whatever you want to call it. In case I didn't say it, WEUP is 24 hours a day. Interestingly enough, there is a man named Ben Casey who is blind, who is the president of the local NFB chapter in Huntsville, who has a community affairs talk show on Sunday nights. WEUP does other community affairs things. Sometimes they do food drives and rallies and stuff like that. And as I've said, they are the station most closely identified as a black communities station. WEUP, in addition to calling themselves WEUP, used to have a slogan on their morning show. They used to say, "WEUP, is you?" But they don't say that anymore.
The government reports both retail and consumer prices were up 0.2% last month. This is the Sheridan Broadcasting Network.
Tonight on Court TV, homicide, life on the street. A drug lord's heroin shipment falls into the cops' hands.
Sirius, a sparkling drop of Red Sea gives you fresh breath at last.
Chances are, you never really thought about life insurance when you were a teenager.
So when your agent recommends Safeco, you can be sure it's the right insurance for you. And that's important even to a young whippersnapper like me.
Safeco Insurance. What's right?
If Safeco Insurance sounds like your kind of company, call Grimwood Insurance Agency Incorporated at 256-534-5621, 256-534-5621.
Hey, Mr. Whitaker. What movie did you rent tonight?
I got a Hitchcock classic, The Birds.
And you're going to have a Publix Deli rotisserie chicken to go with it?
You know me all too well.
Right. Our deli rotisserie chicken. It's so plump and juicy, it's just bursting with flavor. Get one and a side order of potato salad and coleslaw. Now that's entertainment.
Publix, where shopping is a pleasure.
Your WEUP 754 in the Valley, and we're going to continue with more praise and inspirational music as we head into the 8 o'clock hour. I want to say once again, good morning to you and welcome into this joyous edition of A Foretaste of Glory. I'm your host, Brother Timothy Jamar, taking you through these precious hours of the best in gospel right here on your 1600 AM WEUP.
WEUP, AM 1600, Huntsville. Come home to more of your favorite music, night or day, at work or at play. It's WEUP. From Mount Sano to Madison, Jones Valley to Minor Hill, we're your WEUP, Huntsville.
It's 9:15 here at your WEUP, and it's time for a final look at today's obituary announcement. Funeral services for Mr. Frederick V. Mitchell will be held at 11 a.m. on today.
We are WEUP, AM 1600, Huntsville. We are WEUP, 92.1 Minor Hill, Pulaski. W241AA, 96.1 Huntsville.
WUP for Fat Fun and Prizes. New song from Foxy Brown and Toto. That's called I Can't at WUP. Once again, if you got a comment on the question this afternoon, it's 219-9387. It's 219-9387. Check out some of the comments coming up right now. Now, here's what we're talking about this afternoon. We got a young man who has a dilemma. He's talking to three ladies at the same time. He hasn't had any intimate contact with these three ladies, but he's talking to three ladies at the same time. What it is, he's looking for a young lady to settle down to make a family with. His thing about talking to three women at the same time, he's trying to find out which woman is more compatible to him. Now, you know, sometimes feelings can get caught up and somebody can get hurt in a situation. So we had to put it in the question form for him. And the question for him was this. How can a man talk to three women at the same time to find out which one is more compatible to him without feelings getting hurt down the line? Let's go to the phones and see what's up.
In much the same way as you make any important decision in your life, whether it's buying a house, a car, or even selecting your woman, you ain't just going to take the first one that comes around. And when you shopping, if you make your decision in the absence of information, you might make a foolish purchase. Let that man date who he want to date. And three women, four women, whatever it's going to take, the more he runs across, the better he...
All right, now you heard what he had to say, ladies, all right? Sometimes that makes a lot of sense. You know, you want to find out what woman is more compatible. 219-9387, 219-9387. Fat Fun and Prizes, WEUP.
I want to make you my wife.
Until the afternoon, the hip-hop mix show coming up at 6. Big ups to Priscilla Matthews, who played third base in the softball games. Girl, you can play some softball.
We are Huntsville. Hip-hop and R&B.
Now, that's a refreshingly different jingle I haven't heard before, though maybe some of you jingle collectors have. Well, I kind of thought, after that last phone call, maybe he'd play Shop Around by Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. Or maybe I'm just showing my age by even remembering that. Well, that completes our tour of the AM dial in Huntsville. But don't go away. We've only completed half of our fun because we have the FM dial yet to do. If any of you need more air checks or more information about any of these stations, you can contact me, Tim Hendel. My phone number is 256-512-9988, or you can email me at tim@highway.net. That is tim@highway.net.
That wraps up Huntsville's AM stations. Next month, we'd like to make the 15th anniversary issue really special, and this is where we need your help. We're asking members to submit recordings of the most entertaining radio station in your market. If you like, you may even voice commentary regarding those stations. Send your tapes to me, Phil Wayne, at 135 and a half Midland Avenue, Findlay, Ohio, 45840, so they arrive by March 10th. With your help, next month's Market Scope will be really great. And now, as you might expect, here's Musings of the Members.
Greetings, Audio Service members. Marty Rimpaugh here on the 26th of January. KNEW 910 is now CNET Radio. It used to simulcast with K101, and we thought that they were going to change to this CNET format on the 14th of this month, but they surprised everyone, and they changed today, and I missed it. But nevertheless, 910 is now CNET Radio, and we understand there'll be CNET Radio from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., and then they'll revert to simulcasting with K101, but that remains to be seen. I don't know when the change took place or anything like that, but that's what happened. KNEW 910 is now CNET Radio, technology-oriented. 73's Good DX.
Hey, Fred, and all the DXs out there. TJ the DJ from DeKalb, Illinois. Hey, I'd like to ask you, Fred, number one, is there a set of speakers I could buy for my Sony SRF 42? I am tired of being tethered to headphones every time I want to use it, and I wrecked more headphones with that radio, you know, sleeping on them and, you know, falling asleep with them on and all that kind of stuff. So what type of speakers would I need for that particular radio, the AM stereo radio? And number two, it's fun to DX again. I was listening to WSB in Atlanta, listening to all the weather reports firsthand, and it is just fun to listen to that. That's what makes DXing fun. Number three, you recorded another good jingle for me, that Big Ways jingle, W-A-Y-S. I'd like to have that package, and I go to the devil to have it for my collection. If anyone has it, could they let me know? I'm also looking for jingles from the old WLS, back when they were a rock station. And I'm also looking for W-I-N-D jingles, the old W-I-N-D jingles. If anyone has that, let me know and call me or let me know so I can send you a tape so you can share your jingles with me. I'm a jingle junkie, and I got to have my fix again. The name here is Tom Jackson. The address is 1002 South 5th Street in DeKalb, Illinois, 60115, and the telephone number is 815-787-7688. Thanks a lot, and keep DXing, everybody.
This is Tim Hendel. I don't usually tell you about FM stations, since this is a magazine primarily devoted to AM, but this is worth noting. I have noticed that not many Christian commercial stations ever drop the format. I suspect that this may be in part because the owners of those stations, in addition to wanting to make money, have a certain theology that they wish to promote on the radio. So this is noteworthy. WNDA here in Huntsville at 95.1 has dropped contemporary Christian and is going country. As of now, the beginning of February, they don't really have any local announcements. They don't even do an ID at the top of the hour other than Kix 95, so I suspect that means they're waiting for a call letter change to come through from the FCC. I did call the station and found out that the local owners who owned the Christian station, it was called Wells Broadcasting, the station was sold to some other owner whose name I can't remember, but they're doing country. So I guess maybe the Christian station just wasn't making money, even though it was a commercial station. Anyway, a rather unusual thing to have happen here in the radio market, a Christian station changing to some other format, I would say. Regarding Fred's question about people who've been subscribed for a long time, in April of 1985, I was outside of the country, and I didn't know about the DX Audio service. In July 1985, I came back after a year and a half teaching in South Africa, and Randy Jones of St. Augustine, Florida, was kind enough to send me all the back issues of the DX Audio service. I was so excited that I immediately subscribed, and since the summer of 1985, I've not missed a single issue. Like most people, I think that AM radio has deteriorated since 1985. I think the reasons are more stations on at night, more multiple ownership, the FCC allowing AM and FM to simulcast, and lack of local programming and local community involvement. When I go to a strange city, it's not nearly as much fun as it used to be to take the radio and listen around and get a flavor of that new place. Mostly I hear exactly the same impersonal satellite-fed stuff that I do here at home. But I'll tell you one thing, I don't plan to drop the DX Audio service at any time, as long as I'm still around and as long as it's still around. Fred and Jerry and Phil and everybody, thanks a lot for 15 years of great magazine.
Hello, my fellow DXers, Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario, reporting that there's been a major shakeup in AM radio in Buffalo, New York, only 87 miles from here. Monday, January the 31st, WGR 550 went all sports all the time, and they're doing very well. I'm enjoying it quite a lot myself. WBEN 930 changed some personnel. They're still basically a talk station. 1520 WWKB went from all sports to picking up 98.5 WKSE FM. They've plugged in mainly to their format. They're still keeping a little bit of local programming going and their call letters at WWKB, which used to be WKBW. They're still carrying some of the local college basketball, and Inside Bison's baseball comes on there on Saturdays, still for the time being at least. I'm also very sorry to report that Bob Collins, the morning man at WGN Chicago, was killed today in a plane crash. Most of you will probably have heard about it. There was the two small planes over a northern suburb of Chicago.
Hi, this is Tom Rothrock in Hagerstown, Maryland. I was going to say the atmosphere was really active on Thursday, February 17th. For example, I heard WTIS on 1110 in St. Petersburg, Florida, sign off. And I also heard WAPA 680 in San Juan, Puerto Rico, which is most unusual. And I also heard a station on 1200, I think it was WMIR, in Atlantic Beach, South Carolina, carrying Southern Gospel. If anybody else knows more about that station, I would like to hear more, either on the musings or at this number, 1-301-582-4218, which is my home number, and I have an answering machine, too. Well, that's it for now. Good DX, everybody. Bye-bye.
And that's our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. And TJ, let me give you a little hint on how to deal with the mashed headphone syndrome. Use some computer parts. Now, before you think I'm going daffy here, let me just explain. In my hand, I have a Sony FM stereo, AM stereo, Walkman radio. It's the SRF-42. Let's switch it on here and put the headphones up to the microphone. And we're listening to WBUK 107.5 in Lima. And you can hear that it's a decent volume for somebody who's listening on a pair of headphones. But let's walk back here to my computer. Let's disconnect the speakers which go to the computer and plug the speakers into the Walkman radio. Now this is from a distance of 10 feet. Now let's turn up the Walkman radio and see how the volume sounds from across the room. Many of these speaker systems used on computers have a cord which comes out of an amplified speaker and plugs into what's called a sound blaster card. The sound blaster card usually has the same type of connection as the headphone jack, that is the small mini plug that's on the top of a radio, and you can plug those speakers into the radio. Now, the speakers that I have, and what you just heard, cost me $19.95. And I picked them up from a company called Sunset Systems up in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Their telephone number is 1-888-480-4200. However, you can go to a Radio Shack or any computer supply store and pick up a pair of speakers. They range in price. I've seen them as low as $9.95 all the way up to $80 if you want to have something as powerful as 40 or 50 watts in your room. But it makes a nice little addition to a small portable radio like the SRF-42. And it works nice on my Sony ICF-2010 and several other radios. In fact, I've even adapted the speaker cord, which is that mini jack, to an adapter which then goes to an RCA pin plug, which can plug into a standard tuner or even a cassette deck. So it's kind of a nice way to monitor your radio. As we get close to our 15th anniversary, I was just getting a little curious about the history of the DX Audio Service. I remember the very first edition we put together, which was put together in my basement studio when I lived in Westland, Michigan. And in rummaging through some old paperwork, I found a piece of correspondence from then manager Mike Nitter of the National Radio Club, dated February 10th, 1985. And he talks about our audio project that we were talking about doing. This, of course, is several months before the DX Audio Service actually came out. Some of the names that are on this list include Tom Dimeo, Randy Jones, and Ron Clark. And another person here, but I'm having a little hard time in reading it. It looks like the paper might have sustained a water stain somehow over the years. And it looks like Chris, M-A-Y-T-O-R-E-N-A, I think, is the spelling of the last name. But just goes to show you that we've had a few members who have been with us from the beginning. And I do thank those of you who have stayed with us over the years. And before we close out this edition of Musings to the Members, let me read something which came in via email from Chet Koppelman in Washington, D.C. Chet writes that he was at his local Radio Shack yesterday and noticed that the Radio Shack DX392 shortwave AM/FM portable with a mono one-event timed cassette recorder is now on clearance at $130. My store had three, and the D.C. area stores had a total of 45. Most of them were display models. You should know that if the packaging, etc., is in bad shape or non-existent, you can have a year added to the full warranty or a $20 discount, or at least I have had that. This rig retailed for $250, and there was $199 on sale, and I'm sure that the Sanjian version is still being sold at those prices.
I currently have two, along with a 390 and a 398, etc., so I must like it. I always buy their TSP 4-5 year warranty, since I'm rough on my units. It's not unheard of me to get one or two free DX392 replacements in that time. If it's not made anymore, you stand a good chance of getting an upgrade to a more expensive version to something roughly comparable, say to the DX398. Plus replacement antennas, etc., no questions asked. Getting the cassette service free has also been welcomed. Because of this, I avoid mail-order radio stores. But then, many people look down on Radio Shack products, especially short waves. They can go on looking down, in my humble opinion. If I lose my warranty information, Radio Shack has it via their 800 TSP number, which I've accessed myself, but only because store clerks kept getting no TSP on file one time. In that case, it turned out to be because the selling clerk had entered the wrong zip code. And that is our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. You have something in your mind, something to say, give us a call today on the Musings line at 1-419-224-1609, 24 hours a day. To those of you who are on the internet, or perhaps you're just a radio aficionado, you probably have heard the name Scott Feibusch. Scott is one of our DX Audio Service members, and he wrote a simply brilliant piece to wrap up the year 1999. It's called his Year-End Rant, and I think you'll enjoy listening to it. Scott?
Well, thanks, Fred, and here's my version of amusing. It's actually more like a rant. At least that's what I call it every year when I sit down and put sort of a cap on the year as part of my column Northeast Radio Watch, which many of you read on the internet every week. In any case, here is the year-end 1999 rant. Back in the 50s, conventional wisdom said radio was dead. All its traditional functions, from soap operas to dramas to comedies to the evening news, had been supplanted by television. Maybe you've seen the cartoon with the little boy in the attic asking Grandpa what that radio in the corner was for. It wasn't considered far-fetched at the time. Well, it's been half a century since then, and the only thing that's radio-related up in my attic is all the memorabilia of one of the most successful periods any medium in history has ever enjoyed. You know the story as well as I do. Radio found the personal niche TV couldn't. It spoke to the teenagers who discovered their voices and their music in the 50s. It invented 24-hour news just in time for the turmoil of the 60s. It rediscovered the scorned technology called FM, in time to shine anew in the 70s. It learned talk could change a nation's politics in the 80s. And as the nation's economy soared from height to height in the 90s, radio found out just how much money it could make. It was the worst thing that could have happened to radio. It's easy, too easy, to blame the big corporate owners, to say that every time Clear Channel or AM/FM or Citadel or CBS added to their clusters, it was another nail in the coffin. But there's nothing inherently bad about group ownership, even out-of-town group ownership. Look back at the classic stations of radio's second golden age. We'll say for the sake of argument that that began around 1960 and ended that June day in 1982 when WABC went all talk. WRKO, KHJ, KFRC, all controlled by RKO. WBZ, WINS, KFWB, all Westinghouse owned. CBS sets stellar standards for news and public service half a continent away from corporate headquarters at stations like KMOX and WBBM. It's too easy to blame the FCC. Hindsight tells us the mistakes began with Docket 8090 and the flood of new FM stations in the late 80s that never had a chance to be viable if they played by traditional standards of local service and live programming. Hindsight tells us there was no way to square the repeated increases in ownership limits with the stated commitment of at least some commissioners to opening the airwaves to new voices. It's too easy to blame programmers for relying on research over instinct, for ignoring the rising tide of evidence that listeners are tiring of insanely long stop sets and responding by turning away from the radio to other media. It's too easy to blame owners for being willing to sell stations that have been part of their community for decades to buyers who have no intention of continuing that legacy. Faced with a similar choice and with the inflated prices being paid for stations, 20 times or more cash flow is not uncommon now in large markets. 10 to 12 was the standard just a few years ago. Who among us would reject the chance to cash out on a life's hard work? It's too easy to blame listeners for not demanding better. Radio is just one small part of an ever-growing media diet, shouting to be heard above a cable and satellite TV dial that now offers something for every imaginable niche, a web that brings to the home an unfathomable range of music and talk, not to mention an explosion of print offerings that would have been unimaginable half a century ago. Radio is again threatened, this time in ways far more serious than the flickering test patterns of early 50s TV. Back then, the industry knew it had to change to survive. This time around, I'm not so sure, and in my uncertainty lies the core of this year's rant. Like most of you reading NERW every week, and like most of you listening to this rant on DXAS, I've always loved radio. I remember as a child looking out the window at the AM array a half mile away while trying to pull in distant stations. Well, CJBQ in Belleville, Ontario, anyway, it seemed like a world away, on my little GE portable. I studied the history and the personalities and the legends. I built my little homebrew pirate station. I spent too much of college at the radio station and not enough in class. And even before graduation, I began the career path I always thought I'd pursue, working my way from weekend morning small-town news to the mighty Clear Channel Fire of WBZ. Even after that career road hit a dead end, stalled by the continual closing of radio newsrooms and subsequent lack of opportunity in the business, the love of radio remained, if anything, made even stronger by the distance created by a new career in TV. Vacations included, or better yet focused on, visits to studios and tower sites. My air check collection grew, and of course every week ended, and continues to end, with an evening at the computer, reflecting on the week's changes in our region through the writing of Northeast Radio Watch. But something happened in 1999. The spark went out. Each week's news melted into an unmemorable string of mergers and conglomerations and meaningless changes of format and call. The excitement of hearing an air check of another market faded again and again at the realization that, with a few notable exceptions, it was all the same voices reading the same inane liners around the same 40 or 50 or 80 songs from the same corporate playlist. Even listening to the air checks I'd taped myself during travels began to seem more like a chore than like a pleasure. At the same time, I knew it wasn't just my own personal burnout. Every once in a while, the light came back on. It happened in Canada in June, seeing the outpouring of nostalgia and emotion, is love too strong a word, that accompanied the shutdown of the CBL transmitter in Hornby, Ontario. It happened every time a flip of the dial to the public airwaves turned up one of those moments on This American Life, or the Lost and Found Sound segments, that reminded me of the incredible potential that still lives in the medium of radio. It happened in the tributes to Gene Shepherd and John Otto and Bob Raleigh, voices either stilled for good or merely retiring. And it happened in those times, every once in a while, when my dial or my web browser ran across one of those stations that still connected deeply to its community. As big as Steve Lavelli's 38 States all night long, or as small as the bingo-playing crowd over little CKRZ in Oswegan, Ontario, there's something all of these moments drove home to me in 1999. Radio is magical. In the push for profit, though, radio has forgotten how magical it is. And the magic of radio is the only thing that will keep it alive in any form for very long in the 21st century, in the face of attack from new challengers. Already, most of us can sit down at our computers and sample thousands of stations from all over the world, not to mention hundreds of webcasters transmitting to small, net-only audiences. For many, radio is no longer a necessity to hear the music we want. That comes by way of cable and satellite's digital music services. By this time next year, we'll be able to walk into Best Buy or Circuit City and pick up a car satellite receiver that will allow us to listen to dozens of commercial-free music services anywhere in the country. And within a few years, it's a good bet that the net will have gone wireless too, enabling webcasters to reach into the final frontier of the moving vehicle. You know, at least I'll get CBC back if that happens. So how has the radio industry reacted to those threats? Local programming has continued to disappear from the airwaves. Big groups like Clear Channel now routinely program entire formats on a national level, often with voice track jocks from halfway across the country, in contests that are impossible to win at a local level. It is a good sign, at least, to see the Florida Attorney General's office investigating some questionable actions on that front. At many stations, even the once sacred local morning show has been replaced by Stern, Bob and Sherry, Bob and Tom, Tom Joyner, or one of their clones. Local news, with few exceptions, it's fading fast, especially in medium markets. Radio is still the best and fastest way to convey breaking news, yet broadcasters continue closing newsrooms and moving anchors to centralized facilities hundreds of miles away. The more the industry forgets about the importance of local news, the more the listeners stop thinking of radio as a source for community information. An entire generation is now growing up with no thought of using radio for local news. Can the industry ever win them back? As for community service, what was that again exactly? Again, with few exceptions, the idea of serving the community has been reduced to the occasional public service announcement, maybe one or two fundraisers each year. This year, we even ran across one station that had the gall to try to charge nonprofits for running community calendar announcements. Whether it means to or not, radio is sending its communities a strong signal that they are no longer important. That's especially true in markets where formats and frequencies and call letters are shuffled with wild abandon on a near monthly basis. How can we expect listeners to develop any loyalty to radio when they can't feel any sense of attachment to a jock or a station that might not be there when they turn on the radio tomorrow? The radio industry, hand in hand with regulators, is also foreclosing on its own future through its short-sighted response to the LPFM proposals that made their way through the FCC this year. There's a message buried deep within all those pirate busts and LPFM letters of support. These are people who want to be part of radio and communities that want to be served by radio, and big radio isn't serving them properly. So how did big radio respond? Well, with head in the sand and ears tightly shut, almost every big radio group quickly signed on to engineering studies showing massive threats to their signals and a lobbying effort aimed at a legislative end run around the FCC to ban LPFM in Congress. The FCC itself is hardly a shining beacon of logic in all of this. Even as it slowly creaked forward on an LPFM proposal, it kept filling every imaginable future LPFM frequency with satellite translators who are explicitly prohibited from offering local community service. We wonder, why is nobody else seeing a connection here? Well, sure, the radio industry may preserve the sanctity of its 100 kilowatt FM blasters for a few more years, but guess what? The people being shut out of low-power FM are, in many cases, exactly the same people whose new blood and fresh ideas will be needed in a few years to breathe some life into radio's stagnant corpse. Just when radio most needs the next Todd Storrs and Rick Sklar and Alan Freed, they'll have found there's no room for them in an industry programmed entirely from Covington and San Antonio and Denver. They'll be off doing their creative thing in some other medium, lost forever to radio. Radio is squandering the strengths that are uniquely its own, instead becoming a bad clone of the satellite and web-based services that can do automated music services and national programming so much better. No missed breaks, no sudden format changes, no 20-minute stop sets to drive the audience away. The profits may keep going up for another few years, but in the long run, as debt service comes due and listeners continue to disappear, the course is clear, and it ends up in the attic. Look, Grandpa, a radio. What was that? It doesn't have to be that way, and at the local level in some communities, whether as small as Concord, New Hampshire, or as big as New York City, it's not. But it will take commitment at the very top of the radio food chain to bring radio back to the strength that will keep it a valued medium well into the 21st century. Radio can connect its listeners to their communities in ways no other medium can. If we don't start using it that way again, it will, to paraphrase Ed Murrow, be nothing more than a hard drive and a satellite receiver in a box. For the DX Audio Service, I'm Scott Feibusch in Rochester, New York.
Hello, DXers. Ken Honest Chuck here on the DX Audio Service with some summer Arbitron ratings that I hope you will find interesting. I know while it's not really DX, I find it of interest what AM and FM stations across the country are popular in different areas and what people like to listen to, especially the AM powerhouses. So here's what the public listens to in cities with Major League Baseball teams. In New York, the number one listened to station is Pop Adult WLTW-FM at 6.1. The number one AM station is All News 1010 WINS at 3.6. The voice of the world champion Yankees on 770 WABC came in 14th at 2.7 down 4/10. And the voice of the Mets on 660 WFAN came in 17th at 2.7. In Los Angeles, Spanish has made a big inroads as the number one format there in the top two stations, led by KSCA at 6%. The number one AM station is 640 KFI in sixth place at 3.5. But unfortunately, neither the Dodgers on KXTA or the Angels on KRLA could make a dent in the ratings. In Chicago here, AM is king. The Cubs on WGN made it number one with 6.4, down a little bit. That's 720 WGN. The Sox on AM 1000 WMVP ESPN Radio was way down, almost in 30th place at 0.4. And Sports Radio WSCR came in at 1.1. In the San Francisco Bay Area, AM is king. 810 KGO at 6.2, though down a half. The Giants on Sports Radio 680 KNBR came in fourth at 4%, up 1.1. And the A's on 910 KNEW came in 16th at 2.6. In Philadelphia, AM is king. 1060 KYW News Radio, 6.8, up 1. The Phillies on 1210 WPHT came in 20th at 1.7, up 0.6. In Detroit, they like lively music. Rhythm and Blues WJLB and Pop Adult WNIC tied for first place at 6.8. The Tiger Station, WJR 760, came in fourth place at 5.3, down 1%. In Dallas-Fort Worth, Rhythm and Blues is enjoyed by all on KKDA-FM, 7.2, up down 4/10. The Ranger Station, 1080 KRLD, came in 13th at 3.4, down 0.3. In Boston, AM is king. AM 1030 WBZ at 8.2, up 8/10. While the Red Sox on WEEI 850 came in 10th at 3%. That's 3.9. In Washington, another rhythm and blues king there. WPGC-FM came in at 6.3, up 8/10. The number one AM, 630 WMAL, came in 5th at 4.2. And Sports Radio 98 WTEM came in 20th at 1.4. In Houston, another rhythm and blues king, KBXX-FM, came in at 7.6, down 4/10. The Astro Station, 740 KTRH, get that straight there, 4.2, up 3/10, and 950 KPRC came in at 3.1. In Miami, another rhythm and blues strength station, WEDR-FM, number one at 7.1, up 3/10. Number one AM, 710 WAQI at 3.9, though down a half. Sports Radio 560, WQAM, the voice of the Marlins, came in 16th at 2.9. In Atlanta, it's rhythm and blues there. WVEE-FM at 10.3, number one. The number one AM station, the voice of the Braves, 750 WSB, was third at 8.2, down 7/10. In Seattle, AM is king on the Mariners station, 710 KIRO at 7.7, up 1.1. Sports Radio 950, KJR was 23rd at 1.4. In Phoenix, it's country music down there on KNIX-FM at 6.5, up a half. Number one AM station, the voice of the Diamondbacks, 620 KTAR at 6%. In Minneapolis-St. Paul, home of our editor, Mark Durenberger, KQRS-FM, top 40, took over WCCO, a top spot at 10.7, up 6/10. CCO, the twin station, was second at 9.6 steady. Sports Radio KFAN was 13th at 2.3. In St. Louis, AM is King, the voice of the Cardinals, 1120 KMOX, came in 12.6, now down a half. Sports Radio 590 KFNS came in way down at 1.2. In Baltimore, another rhythm and blues strong station, WERQ-FM, 8.2, though down 1.4. The number one AM station, the voice of the Orioles, 1090 WBAL, came in at 7.2, up 1. In Pittsburgh, AM is King again, 1020 KDKA at 12.1, up 1, the Pirates baseball station. Sports Radio WPTT came in 15th at 1.5. In Tampa Bay area, John Bowker's home. Number one is Standards, WDUV-FM at 9.4, up 1.2. And the voice of the Devil Rays, 970 WFLA, came in 6th at 5.6, down a half. In Denver, country music is king, with KYGO-FM at 7.4. The number one AM station, the voice of the Rockies, 850 KOA, came in 3rd at 6.6, down 7-tenths. And Sports Radio 950 KKFN, 21st at 1.1. In Cleveland, those Indians really did a job for the listeners of WTAM. Brought them to number one, 2.3 rise in one book to 11.1. In Kansas City, top 40, KMXV-FM is tops at 7.2, though down 1.3. The voice of the Royals, 980 KMBZ, came in at 5.4, down 7-tenths. And finally in Milwaukee, AM is king with the Brewers on 620 WTMJ at 9.6, up a half. Well, friends, all comments are appreciated. I hope you enjoyed it. I do have more ratings available for anybody who's interested, but my time is over with. So I hope you good DX friends for a couple of months. And until the next time. So enjoy the year 2000, the final year of the century, and we'll see you next time around. Okay, Fred?
Thanks, Ken, and you're listening to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. Our next edition of the DX Audio Service will be April 2000. It will be issue number 181, and it will be our 15th anniversary of the DX Audio Service. So we hope to have you back. And if you like what you hear, be sure to tell a friend. If not, be sure to tell me. I'm Fred Vobey. I'm the publisher of the DX Audio Service. You can reach me at 706 McKenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805. You can contact me at 419-228-4199. If you're on the internet, you can email Fred V, that's F-R-E-D-V, at nrcdxas.org. And if you'd like to become a member of the DX Audio Service and live in the United States of America, the cost is $25. To members in Canada, the subscription rate is $28. To Mexico and the Caribbean, it's $32. And to Europe and elsewhere, it's $38. Those prices are also the renewal rates. Tapes are sent via first-class mail, and you keep the cassettes. If you'd like to subscribe, make your check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send it to the address that I just mentioned. For all the editors and the members, we'll see you in 30 days with more DX stuff. Listen, DX, and be sure to support radio. It's a great hobby. This is the DXAS. A service of the National Radio Club.
WNRC, Convention City, a National Radio Club radio station.
It's 3 o'clock.